Hour number two, Dale and Keefe. Steve D'Ossi is in for Dale today. It's taking up until 2 o'clock as we are reacting to the news that Josh Gordon is stepping away from football. No official word yet from the league that he is going to be suspended indefinitely, but Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network was reporting that earlier. He joined us earlier in the show, so that looks inevitable. I mean, who knows about the future of Josh Gordon in the NFL, but certainly with the Patriots and for this season, it is done. Two regular season games, then we'll see. We'll see on a playoff run for the Patriots this year. It wasn't looking great anyway, Steve, after the back-to-back losses. It really wasn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing here. We see the Patriots every day, and we see the warts that they have. There's other teams out there with warts.
That's a good point.
Teams aren't finishing that strong that we thought they
were. Yeah, that's a great point. Saints and Rams, yep. Look at them the last couple of weeks. They don't look the same. The Saints scored 12 points the other night. I mean, so you're right. Not everybody is playing great. But the back-to-back losses and the road issues continue for the Patriots.
I think the road, you hit it there. The road issues are because it looks like they're going to have to go on the road one way or another. But again, we've seen situations. Who was it? They somehow, I think it was Jacksonville one year beat the, I don't know what year it was.
There's a chance. I mean, they need to get the 2 seed. That's the biggest thing. If they win out, the Texans lose a game over the next 2 weeks, they get the 2 seed, then they get the bye, then they get a home game, and then they may even host the AFC Championship game if the number 1 seed gets upset. So there's a chance. I mean, that's obviously the best path to the Super Bowl, but this is certainly a major blow today as the team's leading receiver, at least yards-wise, Josh Gordon, is done. Let's go to the phones. We got Andrew, also down at the Cape. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. So I wanted to call in about something that's been on my mind a lot this season, this Josh Gordon business kind of confirms it. It's a Keefspiracy.
Oh, here we go. Another Keefspiracy.
All right. Let's see if it qualifies.
Let's see if it qualifies as a
true Keefspiracy.
That's a good point.
I think the Patriots are cursed by Jimmy Garoppolo.
Cursed. The Jimmy Garoppolo curse. Interesting.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo sacrificed his season so that the Patriots will never win the Super Bowl again until they find a quarterback, a second-string quarterback, good enough to be there first.
Wait a minute.
Explains all the troubles this season.
All right. It's kind of a shaky one. But didn't Garoppolo jinx himself first?
Yeah. So Garoppolo said, I will be out for the entire season if the Patriots also struggle. That doesn't make any sense. What is he winning?
I don't know.
He started strong. I like the idea of what
he had. But I don't think Garoppolo would wish ill on the Patriots. I don't think it makes any sense for him to do that.
Nope.
That's his future team.
He's texting buddies with Belichick. He's not coming back here, Rossi. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
Don't lie.
That's not anything. He's staying with the Niners.
If there's a curse here and
there's
a Keefspiracy.
That's Glenn's thing.
It would be the curse.
That's Ordway's thing.
Yeah, let him do
that.
Come on.
I had it first. It would be the curse of Malcolm Butler if you want to go anywhere.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, you might be right. You know, since then, things have not gone particularly well. That's true. What about Roger in Baltimore? What's going on, Roger?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask about what you think this might do to Josh McDaniels' play calling, which I think has sort of stagnated over the last 5 or 6 games. I mean, I was thinking, even before the Gordon news, after the Steelers game, how are we going to put up 35 points on the Steelers, the Chiefs, or the Chargers in the playoffs?
Yeah.
And my attention kind of goes back to the home games against Indy and Miami, where there were 3 things that featured there. The offense really ran through Sony Michel and James White. There was kind of a distribution of passes to a variety of receivers. And there was really creative play calling, trickeration, whatever you want to call it. But Josh McDaniels sort of seemed more in his game back then. And I'm wondering if you think maybe this spurs him to get back to that. Maybe he's like, now I can't do anything. I got to.
Maybe. You know what else? Your phone's popping like crazy. If this happened right after the Tennessee game, you might say, hey, this is actually maybe the offense is better off in a way because it seemed like Brady was really forcing the ball to Gordon. But after that, he put together some really productive games. So it's a major blow to me, no matter how you slice it.
Now,
McDaniels is going to have to figure out a way. Maybe it's once again more James White. You know, maybe it's Chris Hogan a couple more times per game, whatever else it is. But there are certain things that Josh Gordon does. Like that slant route that he would run and just pluck the ball out of the sky with his hands and then pick up as many yards as he can do after that, they don't have anybody else that can do that.
Yeah, no, agreed. And not to mention his size, his speed. I mean, you're talking about a guy that that has a very good skill set in terms of catching the ball in traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll catch the ball in traffic because he goes after it with his hands as well as anyone. And they're going to need some of that. But as far as spreading it around a little bit more, yeah, you have no choice.
Yeah, maybe. You know, that's going to be on Brady too, and just sort of figure out.
It'll be on the guys getting open too.
Yeah, right. I think that's been a big problem too for Brady this year. They don't seem to have any of those guys with the. First of all, they don't have anybody with top end speed. It doesn't feel like
right.
And
agreed.
So they've run into some issues there. Brady's
Dorsett
had to throw the cover.
It.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah.
And maybe, who knows, maybe this is his opportunity to go out there.
Right.
He actually looked pretty good the first couple weeks of the season, or at least he had his moments first couple weeks of the season. And then since Gordon was added, he's really been the guy that has suffered completely, like as far as playing time is concerned. You don't even see him. So maybe you'll get a chance to see him a little bit more. But they got guys that are there. They just need to step up. Whether it's Edelman or whether it's Gronk, the offense is going to look a little bit different because nobody is really the same as Josh Gordon.
And the other part of what the caller was talking about was Josh McDaniels stepping up. I understand mm-hmm. the idea that you think, okay, he's got some magic plays or something that he's holding on to. Really not.
What have you got up there? Yeah. Some secrets?
Yeah,
it's
not
trick
the case.
Plays?
Now, can you study a little bit more? Can you maybe be a little more creative, I guess, which is such a broad term anyway. It doesn't really matter that much. You know, it's not like Josh McDaniels was not trying to call the right plays. He's considered one of the best play callers in the game, partially because he has Tom Brady to work with and partially because he's pretty good at it.
Right. Absolutely. Let's go to Mike in Brookline. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, it's Mark, actually. How are you doing, Keith?
Mark, what's up, man?
Yep. Hey, Fred. So, this is shaping
I've been
up
worse.
One of those classic Patriots seasons, I think, where you starting not to think they're actually going to win, which is when they can win. I've seen two season types with the Patriots, when they seem unbeatable, and they basically are, like no one's going to beat them, and then when they've had winning seasons. And the other type of season they've had is, wow, this is kind of a peculiar team. They look very, very beatable, and somehow they do well because they've got so many weird things to manage, and they manage them well. This is shaping up to be a classic one of those. I'm taking an optimistic approach here that may be the case here, that it scrambles them into creative mode and what are we made of mode and stuff like that.
So are you
kind of an underdog?
Yeah. I mean, are you optimistic or is that pie in the sky? I mean,
I think the pie's in the sky.
I think it's probably 60-40 pie in the sky. But I will say, I would say the part that pushes it even to the 40, maybe up to the 50% sort of optimistic, is that there's a relief factor here. That was my main point, that I think they might be experiencing relief and they're going to have to adjust to it. But in a way, it's two games before the end of the season. It's not at the AFC Champions, for example. Second of all, there's a little bit of a relief because it's sort of been holding this hot potato with Josh Gordon, I think. I mean, you can...
No. Hold on. It's not a relief. It's not a relief for this team. It's not a relief for anybody in this situation. If you take the personal issues off the table and just talk about the team, this isn't a relief for the team. Any means.
And I also don't think this is one of those, oh, well, now there's no pressure on him. Like, it's still Brady. It's still Belichick.
Yep.
You know, when the Patriots... are facing, let's say, the Chiefs or the Chargers,
right,
regardless of what the spread is, it's still the Patriots.
Absolutely.
Like they're
going
to be the team to beat. I feel like the team is more like 09 than anything else. And we had some of these comparisons earlier in the year where, for most teams, a bad year means you miss the playoffs. For the Patriots, it just means you don't advance in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like, you're still going to win 11 games.
Yeah.
But it just feels more like 09. Now, I don't think they have any... like malcontents on the team or anything like that. Like 09 kind of got away from them a little bit, and some of Dales Thomas and some of those guys. Like, ugh, they were less likable. This team's likable just fine. It's just, are they as good as Kansas City or even the way Houston's playing or some of the other teams right now in the AFC?
That's the question. It's the coach. But if you had to have a team, a quarterback, a coach, that could react favorably to these scenarios, you put the Patriots up there. Patriots have reacted to certain strange scenarios in the past. So, it's that gives you, hope's not the right word, but that gives you a little more confidence than you would if you were a team that's not used to being in those positions.
So going into today, before we found out the news about Josh Gordon, if you had to rank the most important pieces on offense, like the guys you couldn't lose, clearly Brady's number one. You don't even need to rank him.
Right.
But after that, and the way the season is going, because normally it would be Gronk, and I wonder if it still is there. Like, how high was Josh Gordon on that list of, we really can't lose this guy?
I would say Edelman won. Edelman's, it's so in sync with Brady and is usually a first down machine.
Yeah, and there's no real Edelman replacement either. Like,
right,
there's no Amendola
right,
this year.
Right, and then with Gronk's health and everything, I would have said
White, James White, maybe
White, but I'd even put I'd put Josh Gordon right there with White. I mean, and then Gronk slips down a little bit only because he's not
the way the season's gone. I mean, but that says a lot right there. I mean, the fact that Gordon he had become one of the more important offensive players on this team, and now he's gone. So we're going to be reacting to this throughout the day. But coming up next, Peter King will join us here on Dale and Keefe. Steve DiAssi is here, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter, at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Dale and Keefe, WEEI, Steve DiAssi is in, and it's time now to talk with Peter King, who is brought to you by Verizon Files, Shaw's, and Star Market. Peter, it's Rich and Steve DiAssi today. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Steve DiAssi, how is life going with you?
Going great, Peter. How's everything with you? Good to hear from you.
Everything is going really good. 100 years ago, I covered Steve DiAssi.
That's right.
This is kind of exciting. It's a cool reunion.
And now you get to cover his son, who I think we'll say it right now, best long snapper in the league.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah,
not ever, though.
He's done a heck of a job for himself.
He has. He's out of college and he has a job. So it's good.
It's a win. Yeah. Peter, what do you make of the news that came out about 2 hours ago? Josh Gordon stepping away from football and, in fact, could be facing another indefinite suspension.
Well, Rich, a couple of months ago, or 3 months ago, actually, when this trade happened, I was kind of surprised at the sort of the universal, this is a good shot taken by the Patriots. And you know, quite honestly, it was. For a fifth round pick, it turned out that they got some decent use out of him. He helped them win a couple of games. But anybody who is even remotely surprised at a guy who was expelled from two middle schools when he was growing up, was expelled from one high school, was arrested for credit card theft while at Baylor, was also suspended twice by Art Briles at Baylor. And then once he got to the NFL, he was suspended an additional five times in connection with substance abuse. In addition to that, now this is his second time where he is, quote, voluntarily stepping away, end quote, or as the case of what happened in Cleveland, entering a facility on his own, however it came to that point. But So again, this shouldn't be remotely a surprise, and again, I don't want to get too deep and dark about this, but in my opinion, this all goes back to the fact that Bill Belichick and the Patriots didn't do enough in the off season to help their skill positions, and I don't mean just letting Deion Lewis go. I mean that they didn't devote enough resources to going out and getting a big league wide receiver in the off season. So they had to make this desperate stab at trying to resuscitate Josh Gordon's career in September. Worked for a little while, but in the immortal words of Bill Parcells, they don't sell insurance for that kind of stuff. So again, I'm not trying to jump on Josh Gordon and legitimately good luck to him, but to count on Josh Gordon, and I doubt that Bill Belichick would say, "Oh yeah, we were sure he was going to make it."
Right.
To count on Josh Gordon, I think, is is extremely naive.
Do you think if they could do it over again, Brandon Cooks would still be here?
I don't see how he wouldn't be there, but, I mean, Bill has always had this thing that he doesn't want to pay mega money to wide receivers and, honestly, in skill position players. So you can say what you want about, gee, if they had it to do over again, would they sign Brandon Cooks? I mean, look, I would if I were a general manager and I saw what a great deep threat he was, even though, you know, clearly he's not a big guy. But I definitely, once I got him in the building, I wouldn't have let him go. But, again, the Patriots just don't do that.
Back to Josh Gordon. Does he ever play in this league again?
I mean, you know, get your Ouija board out. I have no idea. Yeah. I can't predict that. But all I know is that never in a million years would I bring him onto my team. And I don't. And I'm trying not to be overly harsh, but how many times does a guy have to, and again, I don't know what happened here. No one knows what happened here. I know his history. He's, whatever, 27 years old. I mean, he's had more bad things happen to him in the last 15 years than 50 of us have happened to us in our lives. So other than the fact he's a great talent, and the NFL will always err on the side of talent, why take a risk? Invest your time, energy in a guy who is doesn't have one of the worst resumes, quite honestly, off the field of any player ever to play in the NFL.
Is he at that talent level, though, that someone will give it a shot? I mean, is he?
I think it all depends, Steve. Yeah. I think that, you know, look, You were around Lawrence Taylor, obviously, and I don't really compare these two guys because Taylor was available.
Yeah,
you know he was there almost every Sunday. He had that one 4-game substance suspension.
Yep.
But otherwise he was there. He played hurt. He practiced. Lawrence Taylor was a great. But again, I mean, you know, he was. Bill Parcells had to spend an incredible amount of time and energy making sure that Lawrence Taylor stayed available. Okay, so I can't tell you whether somebody will give Josh Gordon a chance and whether he can make it through this. I can't tell you. I mean, I hope for his sake. I would love to see a redemption story. With Josh Gordon, everybody who's ever been around him says he's really a good guy. But again, I don't know how you'd bring him onto your team unless sometime in the next year and a half, he really sort of finds religion in this area and fixes his life.
How do you think this affects on the field, as we're talking with Peter King, the Patriots offense, who over the last 6 quarters has not looked very good?
I totally agree, Rich. I think this is very bad for them, obviously. You know, the thing that really bothered me the other day about the game in Pittsburgh, and there's a very good chance that what we're seeing today has something to do with that, okay? I don't know that at all. But here's what really bothered me about the game the other day, that this was a game where you need your big horses to really come through for you. And the other day, Rob Gronkowski, who just does not look anything like the Gronk of old, Rob Gronkowski and Josh Gordon, who to me, coming into this game, were your best chances. Coming off of a day where collectively in Miami, they had more than 200 yards receiving. And those two guys in Pittsburgh catch 3 balls for 40 yards. And so maybe there was something happening before then that we just didn't know. But, you know, for Josh Gordon in a game of that magnitude to have 2 targets is, I have to figure that there was something wrong by then. But, you know, again, I think the only possible, I don't want to say solution, is for the Patriots to start working Patterson significantly more snaps at receiver. And, hey, he's a fun, really, really hard-trying and good running back. He's a good weapon in the backfield. But I think now it's, you know, the receiving game, it's a matter of urgency. You know, Tom Brady needs some targets. So, you know, we'll see what they do.
Peter, going down a different line, what are we hearing about Josh McDaniel as a head coach somewhere next year in the NFL?
You know, it's interesting. This is a very, very strange year. I had, you know, these search committees that help NFL teams, and you know, you hear of them sometimes, and, you know, they've hired such and such a search committee to go get. I talked to one of the heads of those committees yesterday, not to name names, and I just said, what do you think? He said, the field is very, very weak, and we don't think that these college guys are going to come out. There'd be some interest, I think, in Jeff Brohm at Purdue. There would definitely be some interest in Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, but they don't. I just asked one guy yesterday what he thought. He doesn't think either of those guys are coming out. He doesn't think David Shaw at Stanford is coming out. So, you know, we'll see. Then again, the Green Bay Packers haven't called and said, how would you like to coach Aaron Rodgers the next 5 years? I mean, that is going to be a little bit of a slap in the face that you might have to take that meeting, Steve DiAsi. You know, you might have to think about that. But look, I think the Browns' job is a better job. The
Agreed.
Cleveland Browns are a better team
Agreed.
Today, this moment, than the Green Bay Packers. And I would rather have Baker Mayfield for the next 10 or 12 years than Aaron Rodgers for the next five, given what surrounds him on that team. And so I think those are the two jobs that are going to be really good jobs. And I would think that both of them would be interested in Josh McDaniels. Josh has always said he's more of a Midwestern guy. You know, if he goes anywhere, some people might say, oh, man, I'd love to go to New York or L.A. or whatever. Josh would like to go to Cleveland or to Chicago or a Midwestern place. Mm-hmm. And so the big question is, how much is it going to hang over his head what happened with the Colts last year? And, you know, the Browns right now, and I know that organization pretty well, they have taken the vow of silence. They're all monks right now in the monastery. They're not, there's not much information of any kind coming out of there now. My gut feeling all along is that John Dorsey, who is a huge Big 12 and particularly Oklahoma guy, he loves the players from Oklahoma. He loves the program there. That he would make Lincoln Riley tell him no at some point. Maybe that has happened already. I don't know. But I think that Cleveland and Green Bay are far and away the two best jobs, and I think they would both be smart to have McDaniels on their radar. I believe that Green Bay will probably investigate him pretty thoroughly, so we'll see what happens.
He's Peter King, Football Night in America, NBC Sports. Peter, we always appreciate the time, and have a Merry Christmas, and I'm sure we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Same to you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Peter.
Great stuff. Always great talking with Peter King. And, yeah, I remember when we first talked to him about Josh Gordon, he was really against it. Like, he was the most against it that I ever remember, like, of anybody.
The negative scale of Josh Gordon started with Peter King, then it was Rob Ninkovich.
Ninkovich was also negative about it.
Yeah.
I could not have been more positive about it. That was sort of the swinging scale.
What did you lose? I mean, let's get totally mercenary about this.
Yeah.
What did you lose?
A fifth-round pick, but you got a seventh-round pick back, so you slide down 50-60 spots.
Yeah, okay, good. So, and what'd you get? 40 catches,
you got 11. You got 11 games of a pretty good receiver.
720 yards.
Yeah.
Helped you win a game or two.
Unfortunately, though, what you got is maybe to the point where you started to rely on this guy in your offense, and then two games before the playoffs, he's gone. So you did have that, too.
But you also got the most experienced quarterback in the NFL. You've got the most experienced coach in the NFL. You've got one of the more well-respected play callers in the NFL. Your offensive line isn't as bad as it looked against Pittsburgh with all the
but
penalties.
Should they have just kept Brandon Cooks? Now, you
for
don't get a
money?
First-round pick.
For what money?
Well, this year, it wasn't a ton of money. This year was the last year of his rookie deal. So it was $8 million, Rossi. So it was like next year. Now, he ended up signing an extension as soon as he went there. So it would have been a lot of money.
Of course he did.
But do you think it's time for the Patriots to start to spend big money on a receiver?
Is it time for the Patriots to change the way they've done things forever?
That's my question. Don't you think the league's changing a little bit?
No.
No?
No.
Look at the top teams in the league right now, you would say what? Saints, Chiefs, Chargers, Texans.
Okay. You're just talking about offense? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, both. Okay. I would say those are top offenses and top teams.
But look
at the receivers on all those teams.
I know, and I'm talking about I'm also talking about the overall picture, the overall GM, the salary cap, all those things. Until the salary cap completely blows up on Belichick, he's managed it pretty well.
No, he's done a great job, but don't you think there is something to changing how you do things? Like, you can't do things in 18 like you did in 02. Like, the league has changed.
It's changed. I'm not talking about 02. It's been 10 years since they've changed the rules in the NFL.
There's more to me, and I don't think this is how everybody feels, but I would spend more of my money on offense because they make it so difficult for defensive players anyway.
Agreed.
So you know, like spending money on Adrian Claiborne or Danny Shelton seems like a big-time waste. I would rather have invested that into Brandon Cooks.
What about Stephon Gilmore?
Good player, but even he, like, we see him giving up touchdowns to Bryce Butler. And, like, there's certain things he can't even do because of the way the rules are. Like, you have one of the – you're right. That's actually a good example. You have one of the best corners in the game, but your defense is still middle of the pack.
Okay, and how are you without him?
You'd be worse.
Absolutely right.
Oh, so, I'm not saying that's a bad sign.
But it's a balance.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is there's a balance there. And so far, Bill Belichick's balanced it as well as anybody in the history of the salary cap. So is it time to change things? Things have changed before. I mean, he's changed as the time goes along. He's not doing the same things he did even on the field defensively that he did in 02 and 03 and 04. Yeah. He's not doing the same things offensively that he did in Brady's first 5-6 years. He's doing things they're doing
True.
Things differently.
True.
So, yes, I mean, would you like a high-end top-flight receiver? Sure. Does it fit into the overall picture of things? Maybe you could make it fit, but
yeah.
But I don't think he saw Brandon Cooks as
maybe not
that top-flight. I mean, what do you end up?
He's probably the next tier down. If you ask me, I don't think he's not in the top group, but he's also different than the other guys. Like Gordon was putting up similar numbers, but Cooks has that game changing speed.
Okay,
that
and,
not a lot of
and
guys
yet
have.
I still wouldn't put him in the category. I would put him in the top. What?
He's probably not top eight receiver.
I was saying eight.
He might
to 10.
Be kind of yeah. Once you get into 10, 12, he might be in.
Even
there.
That, I bet you if we look closer, we could find. I mean, would you rather have Schuster or AB?
Oh, but definitely Brown. I mean, Antonio Brown's the best.
What about Schuster?
I don't know. I don't know about that one. Maybe.
Pretty close.
Yeah, they're pretty close.
Pretty close.
But that's my point.
That's 2-on-1 team
right
there.
You know, for years, that was, I mean, besides Jerry Rice, you didn't necessarily need an all-time great receiver to win a Super Bowl. But you're looking at it now, Antonio Brown on Pittsburgh, DeAndre Hopkins on Houston, Tyreek Hill on Kansas City, Keenan Allen on the Chargers, Michael Thomas on the Saints, even Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp before he got hurt with the Rams was having a great year. Robert Woods is pretty good for them.
Thielen is having a great year. That team stinks.
Yeah, they might be playoffs, though.
Diggs
and Thielen might get in there.
That team's not that good.
They also have Cousins. Cousins is a bum.
All right, I was hoping you'd gloss over that.
They also have a bum. All right, we'll get some more of your phone calls. Also, Teddy Bruschi on ESPN, he weighed in on his thoughts about Josh Gordon, so we'll hear from that and more of your phone calls. Coming up here on Dale and Keefe, Steve D'Ossi is here, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Middays with Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Back here on Dale and Keefe. It's been a star-studded Dale and Keefe so far.
Just
not only is
Christmas
Steve D'Ossi,
me, by the way.
What's
just
that?
That song, that's a terrible song.
What do you mean?
This song right here.
Well, blame Rossi. Rossi's spitting all the hits back there. He's been
one
trying
of the
to.
Best Christmas songs. Get you in the
are
great
you crazy?
It's not. It's not one of the best Christmas songs.
We're having a, like,
it's
kind
not.
Of a downer day.
What?
This
it is. It's a bummer of a day. Thanks for pointing that out. It's the worst day.
That song stinks.
Today's the worst day.
All right. Throw a little Wham on there, will you, for Christmas?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, one time. Would you get a little Wham?
Cried out loud.
Well, listen, play some Wham.
We're almost 2 hours into the show. I've been keeping it really like sad blue Christmas. We're keeping it on the down. We're going to turn it around. Listen to this.
Turn it around.
Josh Gordon era done. And Rossi's trying to make us feel better with this. Not working.
Nope.
I'll be honest. Not working at all on my end.
Not buying it.
We already had Tom Pelissero on. He was the first that we saw from the NFL Network saying, well, Gordon's saying he's taking a step away, but in reality, he could be facing another suspension.
Yep.
The Patriots had a statement. It was very short and sweet. It said, we support Josh Gordon in his continued efforts to focus on his health. His attempt to do so is a private and personal matter, which we intend to respect. So, you know, the next time Belichick speaks or the next time Brady speaks, they can sort of point to that. Adam Schefter putting a couple more details on this, saying Josh Gordon now facing fifth suspension.
Mm.
Suspended 2 games in 13 for substance abuse violation for full season before having it reduced to 10 games. In 2014 for same violation, for one more game in 2014 for violating team rules, and indefinitely in 2015 for substance abuse, which he missed 2.5 seasons.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's still only 27.
I know.
He's missed all this time. And it seemed like, and not that anybody, I think it was Peter King who we just spoke with, nobody can be shocked by this, but it is just so unfortunate. It's unfortunate for the person first and foremost. But then when we look at it, you know, for the team, he had played so many games and really looked like he fit in. I mean, he was their leading receiver, you know, after Sunday's game, even though he didn't even do much in that game.
I'll admit to after, about week six or so. After week six or so, I was like, all right, this seems to be going the right direction. Maybe because I wanted it to work.
Yeah, probably.
And you want to believe.
Yeah,
And for both reasons. First off, that a guy's getting his life back in order and that he's helping the Patriots.
Right.
I mean, It's to me, again, I love a redemption story like that, and it could have been a lot better than the way it looks like it's turning out.
Former Patriot Teddy Bruschi, who was on every week with OMF, of course, has his job at ESPN. He was there today and reacting to the news about Josh Gordon.
The New England Patriots knew every single week that Josh walked in that door and every single week that he was there at those walkthroughs and practices and meetings and was able to make it to the game, that was a victory. And they did everything they could to provide him with that support, to give him a good environment, that type of encouragement, to be there for him, to support him 100%. And so now it looks like it's just the cycle has sort of, you know, restarted again in terms of the problems that he's having. It's a real battle. Addiction's a real battle. We all understand that. For Josh to deal with this now and take the step away, or is he going to get suspended? And I believe this time this would be a, you know, last chance type of thing. I don't know how far he is along with that third, fourth, fifth chance. Is it banishment from the league? I don't know what it is, but all I know is he put it together for as long as he could. And, you know, I was a fan of his this year. I love comeback stories to see him in those moments like that with Tom and see him in that organization, because I know what it's like in that organization and the support that he was getting from Tom and those players and everyone being happy. And the fan base of New England, they embraced Josh in terms of what he was trying to do for the team and for his life. So this is a disappointment. I was a fan of Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. I still am a fan for Josh Gordon, and I hope he gets his life right.
I mean, well said. I mean, I agree with everything that he said in there. And, you know, I was a huge fan, still am. Like, you hope he can figure it out. But you look at all the suspensions that he's faced, and also in two different organizations now and not being able to get it together, you wonder, you know, down the road, he might miss another whole season. And then a team, there is talent there, but can you rely on him? Like, that's what it comes down to.
Well, again, it's going to come to the point where what does the team think they need?
Yeah.
What do they think they can get out of him? What's going to be his history of drug tests over the next year or so? We're assuming that this is a positive test related suspension.
That's what we're assuming. No definitive word just yet.
Right.
But it depends
on if that team is you know, it's not going to cost them anything. You know,
No, it's not. But as it stands now for the Patriots, they have to go into the final two games of the regular season without him, and then the playoffs. And, you know, we'll see. I would assume Hogan probably gets a few more passes thrown his way. Patterson gets a few more passes thrown his way. Dorsett actually gets on the field. That's probably the trickle-down effect.
Makes it easier to cover, too. You don't have to worry about. I mean, Josh.
Big
was,
time.
He was getting some double coverage here.
He was
there.
Drawing
some
pass interference penalties down the field. I mean, looking at that Miami game, even though you know we know how it ended, but the final offensive drive, 41-yard pass interference because of Josh Gordon, and had they not interfered with him, I think it was Fitzpatrick. They probably a touchdown. Like he grabbed his arm. He was down there. So yeah, he made some big plays. Hey, what's up, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
What's up? So is this another Bill Belichick bad decision that he's eventually not going to own up to and take responsibility for? And then when asked about it, he's going to say, well, I don't know. You're going to have to ask Josh himself. It's on to the Buffalo Bills for us.
So you basically just asked a question. Hold on. You asked a question and answered at the same time. You said, is this another Bill Belichick screw-up where he's going to make excuses for it and move on? So you basically answered your own question. So what's your next question?
Well, my next question is – well, not my question. My next comment is, quite frankly – I'm as a fan, I'm getting real tired of him making decisions for this team and then not working out and him not owning up and taking responsibility for it.
Okay, who do you want running the team then?
Excuse me?
Who do you want running the team?
It's not that who I want running the team, but that he's made decisions that other coaches probably would have been fired for already.
But who, like what?
Oh, let's say Malcolm Butler.
You really think a coach with his record would be fired about because of that?
That mistake, which I admit is a mistake, that happened in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I'm with you. We can question him, and having Gronk out against Miami was dumb, but the team's also in first place. Like, there's a big difference between making those decisions when you're 8-8.
Let me tell you something. I'll guarantee you this, Mark. A coach with a lesser resume than Bill Belichick would not have been fired for that.
But he didn't have anything to back up this plan just in case the crap hit the fan like it did today.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
He had nothing. Nothing. Like, if Josh Gordon didn't work out, we end up getting screwed on.
Well, wouldn't you have
a bad trade?
We're not disagreeing about the fact that the Patriots are in a lurch now. All right? But I'm going to ask you a very, very straightforward and simple question.
Sure.
What Bill Belichick's done, what he's accomplished... All right, and I'm not saying he's been, and this is from the get-go, from the year he took over this team. I'm not saying he's made 100% correct decisions all along the way.
Absolutely not.
How's it worked out for him?
It's worked out great. I give him that.
Okay, so then who do you want? You just want him to hold your hand and tell you what he did and why he did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, guess what? He doesn't have to do that.
It doesn't
help his team. He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't care to do it. It's not his style.
Now, I think it's pretty straightforward. Relying on Josh Gordon is because Brandon Cooks, right? You did not want to sign Brandon Cooks to a huge deal, so you moved on from him. What were you going to do at wide receiver? They made a trade the year before to get Philip Dorsett in for Jacoby Brissett, but that was really trash, hopefully treasure. Neither team, I think he was gonna get cut. So they bring him in. You can't really rely on him as a number one receiver.
Right.
They let Danny Amendola go. Who out there really wanted to spend a ton of money on Danny Amendola? Maybe there are some, but I figure Danny Amendola out, Julian Edelman return. That should be, in fact, an improvement. Forget a wash. That should be an improvement.
Agreed.
I think what it comes down to is they didn't replace Brandon Cooks, and even if you didn't love the receiver, that's fine. That's still 1,000 yards. It's still whatever it was, 70 catches, a bunch of touchdowns, a pretty productive player. You didn't replace him. Then as the season goes on, you find out Josh Gordon's available. I love going after him. It didn't cost you anything. You brought him in. But it seems like that's been a real tricky position for them. They can't draft it. And then they've had some issues in the past. Obviously, you hit like Randy Moss, a super high with Randy Moss.
Yep.
But then there's some misses along the way, like Ocho Cinco.
You hit very well with Wes Welker. You hit very well with Edelman. You hit incredibly well with Gronk.
Yeah, tight end. I'm saying receiver. Like the wide receiver position, Aaron Dobson, the Brandon Tate, the Taylor Price, the Chad Jackson.
Okay, hold on a second. Who has a higher yards per catch, Edelman or Gronk?
So now you're going to say Gronk's a wide receiver?
No, I'm telling you. Does it matter if when you're throwing the ball, who catches it? If it's James White catching it?
I guess technically not, but I'm saying that position, when they have tried to go after that position.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Just specifically that position.
Okay, I see. But I can tell you this. Bill Belichick doesn't look at things like a lot of people do. He looks at whoever's going to catch the ball. It doesn't matter to him that there's a label on that guy.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. If you're going to get an incredible tight end that's going to help you out, that's great. If you're going to get a great running back like Dion, a great receiving running back like Lewis or...
But let me throw this at you.
Okay.
they wanted to trade Gronk. They were ready to trade Gronk away. So if he said, okay, fine, he's in Detroit, who knows what you get in return, and now you still have that. You have an even bigger problem. Like, you don't have anybody to catch passes anymore.
Well, then I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. It's not. We're not.
No, he's looking at like yards, touchdowns. Like, how do they score points?
Yeah, they don't.
That's what they want.
He doesn't care.
No, I know.
He doesn't care how you score points as long as you can move the ball downfield.
But there's also a pretty damning quote in there where one of Michael Holly's books, I think it was the draft book, where you're War Room, and he's talking about Bill Belichick essentially telling Thomas Dimitroff, well, you know, when you're looking at receivers, you know, you can get similar production from, you know, Julio Jones or Jonathan Baldwin. And you're like, no. Like, there's like the elite receiver is different. And in today's NFL, I feel like even more of a game changer than before.
Who was Baldwin's quarterback?
Who knows? I mean, what was he with the Chiefs at first, wasn't he?
Who was Julio Jones' quarterback?
Matt, so MVP? Are you seriously,
an MVP?
Are you seriously saying these two are
I'm
similar?
I'm just asking.
I'm asking you. When they came out of college, you thought they were similar players?
I'm not asking you that. Who was his quarterback?
An MVP? Baldwin's? Oh, yeah, please. Matt Ryan, MVP.
Was he?
Yes, he was. Well, yes, he was.
Okay, so now you want to take the award away from the kid.
So Julio Jones before.
Now you hate guys from BC.
I'm taking it away. I hate every guy from BC. Every single one of them I hate.
Hold on. Let me cover my
cover up your shirt.
Cover my jacket.
Every single one I can't stand up.
No, I agree. But again, I'm with you. Bill Belichick has not been 100% correct.
Yeah.
He's been infinitely more correct than any other coach in the history of the NFL.
That's definitely true.
Okay.
No, that's definitely true. No, I'm not trying to replace the guy by any means.
No, I know that.
I'm pointing out one flaw that he has.
Agreed.
It seems to be the wide receiver position.
Between him and his scouting and player personnel
groups.
Right,
the whole group there. They've had an issue with that.
They have not been good at all in getting wide receivers, and they've tried. It's not like they haven't tried.
High second round picks, third round picks, you know, free agents, veteran guys, the whole mixed bag.
Agreed.
And most of them have struggled. There's been, again, some great examples of guys that have worked out. But then on the other side, you know, even going
he's done so much better. He's done so much better with free agents than he has with draft choices in terms of receivers.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so right now you're looking at just a wide receiver core. I know Steve wants to put Gronk in there, but just the wide receiver core of Edelman, Hogan, Dorsett, Patterson.
And if they're all covered, you drop it off to James White or Gronk.
Yes. I think there's going to be a lot of James White.
He's got 79 catches.
Yeah,
White's
got a whole bunch, for sure. So he leads the team in receptions. Gordon leads the team in yards, at least he does at this moment. But we are reacting to the news of the day, Josh Gordon taking a leave.
Ugh.
So the Patriots offense must go on without him. We'll continue to take your thoughts on it. 617-779-7937. Plus, we'll do a little year in review at 12:30. We still on for that, Rossi? We're still on for that. We're still going to do that.
Planning on it.
Planning on that. Okay. Steve Diassi is in here for Dale. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.